الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. First and foremost, must make a lot of shukr to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, for He has chosen us for this very, very, very great mission. If we say it's the greatest mission presently on the surface of the earth, it won't be far-fetched, it won't be wrong. To learn deen, and then inshallah to practice deen, and then to teach and propagate deen. This is the greatest mission. Allah has created this whole world, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, only so that we must make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And the meaning here, the ulama have given, is إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونَ, to recognize Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So we are in this world to find Allah Ta'ala. Not only to believe Him, in Him, just by words, but to actually know who He is. And then to be obedient to Him. And then to try and make an effort, the whole world, everyone becomes obedient to Allah Ta'ala. And not only mankind, but even the jinn. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave da'wah to the jinn also, and called them also towards Allah Ta'ala. And this deen is for all men and for jinn. So for that Allah Ta'ala has chosen us. So no matter how much shukr we make, it's not enough. There are so many youngsters of your age who are in this world. We are not speaking of the non-Muslims, they are non-Muslims, but of the Muslims. There are so many who are on drugs, who are on other substances, on other wrong things. Then there are so many others who are going to university and college, and perhaps there isn't even much difference between drugs and between university. That is also a drug of dunya, materialism, of turning people away from Allah Ta'ala. How many are in that field? And a very small percentage Allah has chosen for His deen. Amongst them are you people also. Those who are studying in the other Darul Ulooms also, wherever in the world. And then again, those who are studying deen, that there are those who are studying deen on the internet. And internet is just like making a photocopy. There is no life. One kitab you got, you print 1,000 kitabs. You make a photocopy of 100 kitabs. That is just a photocopy. What is deen is what is in the kitab must come in your life. And that will come in your life when you stay with people who have got deen in their lives. That is, from kitabs, kitabs will come. From one photocopy, you can make another many photocopies. And from a person who has got deen in his life, from their deen will come into your life. From na kitabo se, na waazo se, nazar se paida. Deen hota hai, buzurgo ki nazar se paida. And these are the words of a judge Akbar Allahabadi, who was a judge when the British were ruling India. He was a judge. He says that it isn't by kitabs, not by lectures, not by forcing and making people, or by money, etc., that you can make people practice on deen. Deen comes from those who have got deen in their life by staying in their company. So there are many people who are learning deen from the internet. And from the internet, you can get the knowledge of deen, but you can't get deen. And that knowledge also will not be a complete knowledge. Like you also must have experienced, like if somebody asks you to a question, you know the answer, and that person will accept and he will understand the answer. But in writing it to him, it's quite a job. You speak to him personally, it's much more easier. You can convince him, and he has got any questions, he asks you again. It's much more practical that you do it on a one-on-one basis, instead of by writing, etc. In there you can't get the full message across. So on the internet you can't get even the knowledge of deen properly. It is only when you are in an institution like this, like all our Darul Ulooms, mashallah, where you can get deen. Where, for example, as you will go along, you will see You prepare your sabak for the day. You have an idea which is called mutada'a, that you have an idea of what the lesson is going to be next day. Then the ustad explains it. Now you've got a much more better grip on that. Then you go and make takrar. You repeat this lesson again amongst the students themselves. Now that lesson has become strong within you. In fact, really, if you do these three things properly, mutala, preparing for your sabak, the next day sabaks. Very lightly, you don't have to know all the details and you don't have to know everything, but you have an idea in your mind of what is going to be happening. And then you are present for the sabak. And then you make takrar. Not only that you won't have to prepare for imtihan, your whole life that thing will be solid within you. If you will do it in that way, your whole life that knowledge will be solid within you. And we find our great, one time Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi was a great Mufti of Pakistan. Presently we have Mufti Taqi Usmani, Mufti Rafi Usmani, their father, Maulana Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi. They asked their Ustad Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi. Was a very, very great, and of course his memory was outstanding and remarkable. You can't imagine such a memory which Allah had given him. But anyway, they asked him one masala, and then he explained it, and they thought perhaps he just had studied that kitab last night or this morning. So well, everything was in his mind. Then he told them that this, the only time I studied it was 15 years ago. And still it is as though he just went, like we prepare to give a bayan, we prepare everything, whatever. Like that he had known it. But all that was really based on these three constituents. That is mutala, sabak properly, and then takrar, to repeat the lesson again. So yeah, in an institution like this, then you can get all that. And you know also that if you don't understand something properly, you might have the courage to ask the ustad. Mostly you don't have the courage. If you have the courage, you are shy to ask the ustad. If you are not shy, you think perhaps the ustad will feel offended, or I'm giving taklif to my ustad, you don't want to ask. But as students you sit together, you are very open with one another. And even that small doubt you got, you tell your friend, I don't understand this, what is this? And he explains to you, still you know, he explains you again. As friends, you are very open. So this is where that knowledge comes out, with all that. Then you got all the ustads, you got the library, you got how many ulama you can go and ask. So this is where you will get. So we have to make lot of shukr to Allah. Then another thing, that this type of knowledge is history, from the historical perspective. From the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowledge was imparted exactly like this year. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, the most famous Darul Uloom of Medina Sharif was called Suffa, which is there till today, that raised platform in Masjid an-Nabawi, which everyone knows, and everyone tries to go and make two rakats of namaz, make dua there on Suffa. That was the Darul Uloom, where students used to stay there in that boarding. Just like students stay in the boarding here now, it's a bit more comfortable, a bit more modern, more comfortable, etc. But basically it was like that, they used to stay there. Their sabaks used to take place there. That is, the classrooms were also there. The ustads used to go and teach them there also. So this used to take place. That was the khanqa also, where the tarbiyat was also done. So that is also another very important aspect, that knowledge alone, and knowledge also we must acquire it from the right people in the right way. From the right people in the right way. That is, from the ulama who have studied under other ulama. And this link goes right to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we'll get that knowledge which is coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it must be studied from them. And then also it must be studied in the right way. That is, like this, one-on-one basis. That is how it must be studied also. And then to get the reality of that knowledge and to practice on that knowledge, we need what is called the khanqa effort also. That is to make the islah of a person. So that the heart gets clean. If your the heart is like a mirror, If a mirror is dirty, like a torch gives a bright light. But did you ever see the globe of the torch, how small it is? The globe is very small, and the light in the globe is very little. But the torch gives a bright light. How is this? It is that they've got like a mirror behind that globe. And this light of the torch, which is very little, a small little light, it shines in onto the mirror. And then the mirror makes that light very strong, and that gives the bright light which a torch gives. So if that mirror is clean, then it takes that light properly, and it makes it shine out. If that mirror is dirty, then even you got fully charged batteries, and your globe is also right, you'll put your torch on, you'll just get that small light of the globe. The torch which work it has to do is to give you a bright light. So you shine a torch, sometimes it goes how many meters that flashlight of it goes so far. It is all that mirror which is behind it. So that mirror has to be clean. So the effort of the Khanqah is to clean the mirror of the heart. The knowledge is ilm, al-ilmu nurun, that knowledge. You can have little knowledge, but your heart is clean. You will see that this phase, the benefits of this knowledge will go far. For your whole life also, inshallah, and other people will benefit also. And a lot of people will benefit. But if you got that light, the ilm you got, al-ilmu nurun, but the mirror behind it is dirty. You haven't cleansed yourself. You got the disease of pride in you. You got the disease of name and fame. People must praise me. People must talk about me. You got the disease of love of money. You want money from people. You are begging in a nice way, in a very respectful way, but still you're a beggar. You're putting your thing forward to people in such a way that they don't even know that you are begging, the way you are putting. I'll just give you one example. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri, rahmatullah, many of us must have heard his name, a great alim in tabligh and da'wat, whose bayans were also, who was known as Lisan al-Tabligh, the tongue of tabligh jamaat. His bayans were so good. So anyway, once he explained, he gave his karguzari how he joined the work. And then he said he was an imam in Bombay, and he had a lot of debts on him. And but anyway, he joined the Jamaat, and then one thing he said, see, I'm here in South Africa, and South Africa are rich people here, and somebody might think, I said I got doubts that they must get the idea, poor Maulana got debts on him, we must help him out. We must give him some money that he can pay his debts. So he said, alhamdulillah, all my debts are paid. And I don't need any money. Allah has made me financially secure. I don't need. So like this, a person in a bayan also is speaking, but in a very indirect way, which you don't even know, he's begging for money also. Though he's a maulana also, and he's speaking from the stage, from the mimbar, but if your heart is not clean, you got love of dunya, in a very subtle way, which people cannot make out, you'll be begging for money also. So the heart has to be also clean. So all that, alhamdulillah, by Allah's fazl, it is present here in the madrasa. There are many of our ustads who are khalifas of many mashayikh, and they have got their majalis also, so a person can make. So don't also fall back on this. Together with your studies, though this takes very little time, perhaps an hour a week is more than enough. And every day maybe 5 minutes or so, 5-7 minutes, then every student can give that time. If you give it when you complete, you won't be only an alim, inshallah you'll be a sheikh, a kamil also. Together with your studies you can achieve that. It's not far-fetched, and it should be our target, that we complete our alim and we do get our knowledge with flying colors, distinctions. And together with that we become a sheikh, a kamil also, and deen comes into our lives and into the lives of the other people. So make lot of shukr. So I will keep quiet now for a little while, and in your mind, in your heart, make shukr to Allah consciously. One is just we nod our heads, yes, I'm making shukr. But actually in your heart, turn to Allah, and that He has chosen you from how many people who are on drugs, He hasn't made you a drug addict or anything. He hasn't made you an alcoholic. He hasn't made you a womanizer. He hasn't made you a person who is a gambler. He has given, he saved you from all that. Then together with that, he didn't put you in the dens of vice and evil in universities and that. And then, mashallah, there are some students here who were in universities, but Allah put in their heart such a strong desire to study. There are those students who had admission to university, they could gain, go to university. But Allah, it's only Allah, it's not ourselves. Don't say, I decided. But it was Allah who showed His favors on me, and He brought you here to become an alim of deen, to learn ilm nabuwat, ilm Quran, ilm ilahi, the ilm of Allah Ta'ala, the greatest thing. And that, inshallah, so make first that shukr. Then, together with that shukr, give me this guide. Yeah, you, all of you got this guide? All of you read it? Or are you still going to read it? Who didn't still read it? Try and read it, eh? So, our intentions that we have to make, that's very important. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. All actions are according to the intention. You are starting today now on a very, very great mission to become an alim, inshallah, 6 years, whatever time it might take. But this is the start of your journey. And the starting must be with niyat. Don't do an amal without a niyat. You sit in the car and you got no intention of where you're going. You're just driving, wasting petrol, wasting time. You don't know where you're going. What kind of a person is that? If a ship is at sea and it's got no direction, the waves are hitting that ship from this side to that side. The winds are hitting it from this side to that side. Wherever the winds take it, wherever the waves is just going, it's got no purpose. So our life mustn't be like that. And even our alim cause, that we must have intentions. And also, niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. The niyat of a mu'min is more better than his amal also. Like for example, just now will be Zohar time, inshallah. We all will go for Zohar namaz also. And if we make our niyat that I'm going to make my Zohar namaz for the pleasure of Allah, then our niyat will be to make a perfect namaz. Nobody will make a niyat of an imperfect namaz. Our niyat will be full concentration and devotion and properly all the sunnahs, adab, when a person makes niyat. But when he does the amal, we know we got weaknesses. Our mind goes from here to there. What and what we think in our namaz. Perhaps we didn't even make our wudu properly. Perhaps we didn't wash our elbows. But your niyat is that I'll make a perfect wudu. But the amal, there will be always deficiency in it. No, of course, we must try to make the amal perfect. But the amal will always have some deficiency. Niyat, you can make a perfect niyat, everyone. And your reward is according to your niyat. So, niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. The niyat of a mu'min is more better than his amal also. So, niyat is very, very important. Now, one is we made shukr. Now, our niyat that we have to make. What do niyat we have to make? To please Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah must be pleased with us. That Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be pleased with us. Basically, is the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That is why I'm learning, I'm becoming an alim for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. To know Allah and His Rasul. To know who Allah ta'ala is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. That is also a niyat. To know what Allah wants from me. Why has Allah put me in this world? Has He put me just for nothing? Allah made the heavens and the earth, the skies, the mountains, the seas. Allah gave me life, gave me eyes, gave me a heart, gave me a brain. What great ni'mats of Allah. May Allah save us all, but all of us in our families, friends, communities, we hear somebody, for example, got a growth in the brain. Somebody has got a tumor in the heart. somebody has got some eye deficiency, how sad we feel. We make dua also for the person. So these, what great ni'mat of Allah, that we are breathing properly. What a great ni'mat. Just to be sipping this water, what a great, all these, the water is a ni'mat. The glass is a ni'mat. If there wasn't the glass, how should you can't drink water just like that. You need it to be in a glass. How many people work to make the glass? Wherever this glass was made, and for the glass, the machines that made the glass, to make that machines, how many other machines worked on it? And all this infrastructure is none other but from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So how much shukr we have to make. Yeah, we are sitting comfortably. It's a winter now. Though it's daytime, it's not so cold now, but still it is cold. If we had to be sitting outside, we are sitting comfortably here. We got the classroom. We got everything here. How comfortable it is. It's not too hot for us. It's not too cold for us. We haven't got any fear on us. We are sitting comfortably. No security here. And we are just sitting. All this are ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. And then our bodies are in order. Perhaps nobody has got a headache. Nobody got a stomachache at this moment. Inshallah, none of you. You are still young people. You haven't got any worries on your head. Your fathers, your parents have to worry for you all the time. Yeah, your food, you don't have to worry. As one time, Maul Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri, Damat Barakatum told, he says it's possible when a person, even the principal of the madrasa, he goes home and the wife will tell him, I'm just a bit late with the food today. If you just 15 minutes afterwards, I'll give you food. But students, you go to the mess, inshallah, not one day you'll find the food is late. Yeah, 100% the food is ready on time. At home, yeah, your wife can perhaps tell you, you are the principal yourself. She says, sorry, today, please just make me maaf. But I got occupied, a phone call came and I was so busy. And that woman was just carrying on and I'm late with the food. But in a madrasa, everything is done for you on time. Your washing is done for you on time. Everything is done. So you got no worries. You are at that stage in your life, you don't have to worry of your money. If you are short of money, you don't worry. You just pick up the phone and you insist at home, please, you must have money. And you force them and you fight with them. You must send me so much. You must do this. Yeah, you got no worry for anything whatsoever. So Allah has made it so easy for us. So we must give our whole self to learn. And at this time, and it comes also, it is mentioned in the words of the Buzurg, a person who gives his everything for ilm, then ilm will give you a little bit of it. If you give your everything, your mind, your heart, your time, your energy, your everything you give for ilm, ilm will give you a little bit of it. And that little bit is also a lot. You'll be known as big allama with that little. And if Allah gives you a lot of ilm, Allahu Akbar, what to say about that? But for that, you'll have to give your whole self. Devote yourself thoroughly towards this. Then inshallah, Allah will make you a great alim, hafiz, qari, mufti, everything Allah will make you. Today you are still the starting point of your journey. And later in your life, like Maulana, Shaykh Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, and other students who were with him, they were great. When they graduated, when they completed in Darul Uloom Dioban, they told their Ustad Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayh and them that don't give us certificates, otherwise prides will come into us. So he said, don't worry, today you are like a nobody, you're just students who are just graduating still. And you people are students who are just still starting also. So he says, one day it will just be you and you alone. And Allah showed that day where they were the great allama of the time. They were the great mujaddids of the time. They were the great people. So Allah will grant that. But you give yourself wholly to deen, everything. And deen will give you even a little bit. By that little you'll be the greatest person. And that is in this world where those people who know the value of deen will respect and honor you. Just a little example on that. That those people who don't know what the value of this is, like most of the Muslims, non-Muslims are out of the question. We're not talking about them. Muslims also don't know what the value of an alim, a value of a hafiz. little example, one student who was studying, his ustad told him, if you learn one masala, one ayat of the Quran is more better than the whole dunya and everything what is in the dunya. So the student was very happy. I'm learning so many masalas every day. I'm learning so many ayats. My sabak, I'm becoming hafiz. I'm learning 15 ayats, 20, 25 ayats every day. And one ayat, one masala is better than the whole world. And whatever the world, I'm such a rich man. And really it is, every student, what you are learning, you are gaining the most greatest wealth and treasure. All the people who are in business at this moment and what they're earning is nothing. Universities, they are in zero, they are in negative. They are in minus. What are they earning? You people are earning everything. So he was very happy. So his sandal, chappal, it broke. So he needed to have it repaired. Not to buy a new one, just to have it repaired. So he went to the shoemaker, then told him to fix it up. So he said, okay, how much will you pay me for it? So he told him, I will teach you one masala, which is better than the whole world, and whatever it contains. The shoemaker took his sandal and threw it back at him. He says, go from here. I must fix up your sandal, and I must just get one masala. What is that? He doesn't know the value of a masala. So the student, a young boy, got confused. My ustad told me, one masala is better than the whole world and what it contains. But yeah, I can't even just get repaired my one sandal. Forget buying a new one. I can't even get it repaired. So he went, he told his ustad, I'm confused. Ustadji, you told me this. And see now, I can't even get my sandal. The ustad understood his confusion, what his problem is. So the ustad took a valuable diamond which he had. And he gave it to a grown-up, responsible person. And he said, go back to the shoemaker. And when he asks you, what are you going to pay me, how much you're going to give me, I'll fix up your sandal, tell him, I'll give you the stone. So he went, he told him, I'll give you the stone, the shoemaker threw his sandal back again. Said, what must I do with the stone? I need 5 rand, 10 rand, 20 rand, whatever it will cost to fix up the sandal, what I'm going to do with the stone? Then he sent that student with that person and the diamond to the jeweler in the town. When the jeweler saw the diamond, he said, nobody can pay for this. Only the king has got so much money who can pay for this. So what was it? That shoemaker didn't know the value of the stone. In the same way, he didn't know the value of one masala. So though, and Allah knows, the value of one, just the word Allah, forget one masala, forget one ayat, just the word of Allah is so valuable. That as long as one person is saying Allah, and even in ghaflat, in unmindfulness, as long as he's just saying Allah, it is so valuable that the whole system of the world, Allah will keep it to carry on. The winds will blow, the waters will be on their place, mountains will be on their place, people will get their rizq, their rozi, everything will carry on. As long as there is just one person out of the, at the moment, about 7 billion people in the world, even if one person is only saying Allah, and if you, one masala is more, one ayat is much more. So what we are learning, how great, isn't it? So to recognize, to know this deen, and to know what Allah wants from us. Number 4, to know deen in its original and true form, the correct deen. Today also, and this is also, make a proper niyat now, that we are going to learn the pure deen. Today you got Salafism, you got Shiism, you got modernism, you got how many other things all. So we are going to learn the pure deen. And this is also in these Darul Ulooms of this type, where this pure deen is being taught. To make one's iman according to this end, this knowledge that we are having, that we must have iman on it also. For example, like we all got iman, that fire burns. If somebody just have to shout out now and say snake, all of us will jump and run from there. Whether there is a snake or not, he's just imagining also. But just the word, our iman is a snake, is going to bite you. You're going to die. We are frightened for, even just to think of a snake, we are frightened. And so that iman, we must have this iman that speaking lies will burn you also like that. قو أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. Save yourself and your families from the fire. That fire is not here now, and the last command is for dunya. That save yourself from the fire. But there isn't the fire. The fire is in Jahannam. So how are you going to save yourself? That all these sins, gunas, sins, they are fire. Though we might see, haram food, for example. Maybe it's a haram pizza, a haram pie. It may be looking very tempting and tasty, but you must realize it's a fire of Jahannam. How can I put the fire of Jahannam in my mouth? I can't, a matchstick, I can't allow it to go in my mouth. It will burn me, and the fire of Jahannam, that whole pizza, that whole pie, if it is haram. If it's halal, no problem. But if it's haram, it's the fire of Jahannam. Looking at that girl or that woman, she looks so pretty and so tempting, and I want to look also. But I must realize it is fire. Iman must be there. That this is not her red lips and her red cheeks, is the red fire of the flames of Jahannam. That is a person must be. So our iman, we have to build it also. That also according to that. To make one's amal according to this end, then our actions must be also in conformity with this end that we are going to be learning. Then, after we gain it, to spread this iman, amal, and ilm to all the people of the world till the day of Qiyamah. Within ones means our niyat must be the whole world till the day of Qiyamah. And Allah will give sawab according to that also. One time, Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi, rahmatullahi, the son of Maulana Ilyas, rahmatullahi, he gave khutbah Jummah time. After that, his father, Maulana Ilyas, asked him, what niyat did you make when you gave the khutbah? So he says, sunnah to give the khutbah, I made that. He said, had you made this niyat, that Ya Allah convey this to all the people of the world, Allah should do what He wants, so that's up to Him. Ma adri ma yuf'alu bi wala bikum. I don't, whatever Allah wants to do, He's going to do. But I have to do my duty. So, your duty to make the khutbah, but your niyat, it must reach the whole world. According to your niyat, Allah is going to give you your sawab. So if we make niyat that this knowledge, I must spread it to the whole world, till the day of Qiyamah, Allah will give you the sawab according to that. Always refresh your intentions. That is very, very important. This is what we have discussed. Now again, I will keep quiet just now for a little while. Then look in your paper and these intentions, make them consciously. Ya Allah, I'm becoming an alim for all these intentions here. So refresh your and every morning, try when you wake up or before you come to classes, try and refresh your intentions. Okay? But make it a point. You will see by in Urdu, Gujarati also it is said, Jaisi niyat, waisi barkat. Wow, our niyat will be, barkat will be. If you make this niyat every day, I promise you, just a small amal. Like for example, perhaps all of you don't know, but don't remember, but you must be knowing, before our watches, we had to hand wind them every night. There was no batteries for the watches. You had to wind it every night. And your winding is for about half a minute you should wind the watch, or 1 minute at the most, half a minute, less than half a minute, but it should work 24 hours. So like that, your niyat, you make it, it will be a little while, but it's going to work for your whole life. And if you don't make your niyat, you don't wind your watch, so you look at the time, middle of the night, is the wrong time. In the morning you look at the time, because you didn't wind your watch went and stopped. If you don't make niyat, we will stop also. So make your niyat every day, refresh your niyat. And also wherever you suspect them of not being correct or faltering, correct them immediately. Where we find that now my niyat is changing, I know my sabak every day, I'm coming first in all my exams. And now people, all my students also, my ustads are praising me. Now my niyat is changing. That I'm learning now, not for Allah's pleasure, but for the praises, that everyone must praise me. Now you realize, then correct your niyat. And make tawbah and istighfar at the end. Then read the next chapter also of ikhlas. Very important. This is such a great amal you are doing, which will take you to the heights of Jannah. And you will become the cause of hidayat of thousands and millions of people. But if there isn't sincerity, then all that will be destroyed. Instead of getting Jannah, the first people to be thrown in Jahannam, amongst them will be an alim also. That the person who gained this knowledge, but for dunya's purposes, not for the pleasure of Allah. So we have to correct our niyat also. Then our discipline, read that also, the ma'amulat that we have to do that also inshallah, and all the other related things, correct them. So look at the sincerity, the intention page, and I will keep quiet and make these intentions and refresh them regularly also. Except inshallah. Then as far as our actual sabak is concerned, just a little preliminary talk on that. There are various ways. First thing that you have to learn is Arabic. So many people who got this objection also, that you are ulama who study in South Africa and your ustad studied in India and Pakistan, and Deen is from Saudi Arabia, from Hijaz, Muqaddas. You can see we're starting off with Arabic. So don't suffer under that inferiority complex. Our Deen, Quran and Hadith is in Arabic, and we have to know Arabic. And also remember that the Arabic we are learning here is the Arabic of Quran and Hadith, because we want to know Quran and Hadith. So our Arabic we are learning is that Arabic of Quran and Hadith. Like for example, in English language, you have the one old Victorian language, the old English, archaic, that is like Shakespearean language. You, thou, thee, and nobody speaks like that. When you speak to one another, thou did this, or thee are like this, nobody speaks. Now we speak you, etc., modern English. So there is a difference between the old English and the modern English. There is a difference between Victorian English in the time, the Victorian period, which was Shakespearean English. There is a difference between that English and the English that we speak today. Like that, the Arabic, which the Arabs speak today, is different from the Arabic of the Quran. If a person knows, like you people might well experience, you will learn Arabic, you will speak this Arabic of Quran and Hadith. When you go and buy the shops in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif, those people will wonder from where you came out from, old Zamana. Where this person came out from, the old Zamana. He's speaking that Arabic. The modern Arabic is different. So those who say you must know Arabic, they talk of modern Arabic. And modern Arabic is not going to let you know Quran and Hadith. Quran and Hadith Arabic will let you know Quran and Hadith. So this is very important that we learn this Arabic. So that is one. Then the method of teaching Arabic is also different. At university they teach it in a different way, and in most of the Arab world they teach Arabic in a different way, and our buzurgs, how they have taught us and how we learn, is in a different way. What is the difference? The difference is, like in their way, you start with Arabic readers, and as you are reading you learn the rules also. Our way is you learn the rules first, and then you learn the Arabic and apply your rules as you're reading. Afterwards, the person who did the action must get a dhamma, a pesh. Now, they will read it first and they will teach you that, yes, see, this person did the action, that's why there is a dhamma there. We learn the rule first, that the person who did the action must get a dhamma. On whom the action was done gets a fatha, a zabar. So we learn the rule first. So if we ask them that, do you first start driving on the road and then you learn the rules, or you first learn the rules and then you go and drive? In fact, you first learn the rules. You can't even go for a driving test till you didn't pass your learner's test. You have to first pass your learner's test. You have to know all that rules. Then you learn now how to drive, and that also under supervision. And when you pass there, now you are allowed to drive on a public road. So in the same way, our system is to learn the rules first. This is, we agree, more a bit laborious, a bit boring, a bit more hard work, but it pushes you very, very far in front. I made a lot of times Toba publicly. I studied at university and I taught at university also. So that life is also fully in front of me. I know that life also. And alhamdulillah, we studied in our Darul Ulooms and we are teaching the Darul Ulooms and we are related with Darul Ulooms. This life is also in front. And I can guarantee you, I did my Arabic, etc., my BA with UNISA, University of South Africa. And what we are going to teach you in the first 2 weeks, there in the first year you don't learn so much also. And how we had learned, the professor was also surprised. Alhamdulillah, I got all distinctions, so it's nothing to boast about and talk about. What is that? Our knowledge is the real knowledge. So what you are learning here in about 2 weeks, what you learn in the university, it will take you 1 year to learn. The only thing difference is that how they make it sound that they're learning a lot is all the frills and trimmings. They just make it like something big. And our way is simplicity, is humbleness. So we don't make a big show about it. So people think in the Darul Ulooms nothing is happening. That yeah, they're very backwards. They don't know anything. But they are far, far ahead. Where those people will never reach, you will reach there. So that is our system. So for this first 2 weeks, we got to what we say you have to learn the gardans. These are what is in front of you are the gardans. In English, the paradigms or scales of to learn the tense of the word, the past tense, present tense, whether it's a first person, second person, masculine, female, all these things. And a person who is studying a language which is not his own native language. Like most of us, our home language has become English. Many of us, though we are Gujaratis, but very sadly, our home language is not Gujarati anymore. There are those perhaps, any Indonesians here? Malaysians? So those who are, perhaps still the Indonesians and Malaysians, their home language is Indonesian language, Malaysian language. But generally, though we are Indians, our home language is not an Indian language. It's a sad state of affairs. That what you are and what you are supposed to have been, you are not there. It's a very, very sad case. Just a little example on that. One person always used to wear a rumal over his head. So he was recognized by that. The minute you see that room, you know he's that person. So one day he slept and his friend came and took his rumal and he wore it. So when he woke him up, he said that I have become you. Where am I? Because that person wore the rumal now. So he looked like that person. So he said, I have become you. Where am I? Today the West have taken our things and we have lost our identity. All our valuable things that we had, we have lost it. They have taken our things. And they have become whatever they have got, they took our things. Whether it's maths, whether it's science, whether it's medicine, all they took our things. We lost all our things. And the main is not maths and science and medicine. The main is our true values of honesty, of rightfulness, of kindness, etc. Today you will find in a Jewish shop, you'll find a notice written that if you are not happy with the goods, you can bring them back and we will happily refund you. And in a Muslim shop, you will find goods one bought are not, we won't accept it back. That is our teaching. The Jews have taken our teaching and we have taken their teaching. So anyway, so this way that we learn, we are learning this paradigm. If you will see what is written on the bowl in the right from top to bottom, on the right side of the page, fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu, fa'alat, fa'alata, fa'alna, fa'alta, fa'altuma, fa'altum, fa'alti, fa'altuma, fa'altunna, fa'altu, fa'alna. Now the way we have learned and which we are going to teach you, inshallah, this I learned about easily over 55 years ago. But you can ask me middle of the night, فَعَلَ فَعَلَ فَعَلُ فَعَلَ فَعَلَتَ فَعَلْنَا فَعَلْتَ فَعَلْتُ مَا فَعَلْتُ فَعَلْتِ فَعَلْتُ مَا فَعَلْتُ فَعَلْتُ فَعَلْنَا. In those days, in one breath, we should read the whole thing. How solid it is. How our ustads taught us until today. فَعَلَ وُسَيْكْ مَرْنِكْيَا سِغَى وَعَيْكْ مُزَكَرْ غَيْبَيْتْ إِذْبَعْ فِيَلْ مَعْذِي مَعْرُوفْ. Whole thing, the whole thing. And like those, there are many of you are hafiz. How many are hafiz? Put your hands up, those who are hafiz. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Allah accept. So you know about Mutashabihat, Yusikumullah, and everywhere else, Musa alayhi salam, وَلَقَدْ عَتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ فَاخْتُلِفَ. All different, how many Mutashabihat in Quran Sharif? Yeah, you will see, and that year also it's like Mutashabihat. One student who was studying with us, and he wasn't well grounded, so he thought, the ustad told him to read, so he thought the whole thing, he just started writing, fa'ala, 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 fa'ala. The whole Quran only fa'ala. He thought the whole thing is fa'ala. But we know, and from here also understand, that fa'ala, fa'ala, that alif, if you don't read it clearly, it changes the meaning. So in Quran Sharif also, in the story of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, and one son killed the other son, and then one place is nafsi, one place is nafsi, what a hey. So to read this clearly is very important. Like that, if we don't pay attention, even a good hafiz qari, you don't make the difference. Both places you read nafsi, but you must make nafsi, nafsi. And there are many places in the Quran. So all this like mutashabihat. So this you will be learning. And this I can assure you, more than maths can make your mind sharp. This one, the 2 weeks, your gardans you are going to do, if you study properly, it will make your mind very, very sharp. You will become intelligent and brilliant. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh, when a great barrister at law, he told Maulana Thanvi, where you became a Maulvi, you had to be a big barrister, a big lawyer. Your brain is such. He says that if I should become a lawyer, I should never have reached there. This thing made my brain like that, how my brain is working. And this is here in Gardans, in grammar. Afterwards, you will see if you study properly the fuqaha, if you study your hidayah properly especially, you will see that what brains they had, how they took out masalas. And to take out masalas, it's not only piety you need and taqwa, you need that brains also. And this will make that brains. If you study this properly, you're not going to be a mujtahid today. But you will be able to appreciate a mujtahid. And the greatest appreciation of a mujtahid, those people who took out masalas from Quran and Hadith, the greatest appreciation is that I cannot be a mujtahid. That today when you don't have that, everyone thinks I'm a mujtahid. And everyone wants to take out masalas from Quran and Hadith. It's beyond our capacity. That work has been done. And the example of that is like you go to somebody's house, you are invited for meals. The meals are ready on the table. What's your work? To eat it. But now you go and buy sugar and flour and rice from the shop. You go and make the braai fire and use food is ready. Now eat it. Our whole deen is ready. Now we must practice upon it. We don't have to go and make new masalas and find out the masalas. That has been done for us already. And so that the people haven't even got that amount of brains to understand food is ready. Just sit down, read Bismillah and eat now. That also we can't do. We want to still go and cook the food again. And we want to go and milk the cow and let the cow grow up and milk the cow and go and grow the tea and grow the flour and grow the mealies and the rice. No, we don't have to do it. Everything is ready. So at least so much brains you will have that I can't be a mujtahid, I must follow the mujtahid. And our duty is not to follow Quran and Hadith. Understand this and don't suffer from any inferiority complex. Our duty is to follow the imma and mujtahideen. They took out from, and when we're following them, we are following Quran and Hadith. We cannot follow Quran, we haven't got the capacity. We are 1400 years later. What has happened in this period? We must follow the imma and mujtahideen. That is our safe path. You got a car ready, so you drive your car, sit in your car and move. You don't have to now go and study how to make an engine and how to make a gearbox and how many thousand things in the car. You must study, you must go and get the things, you must go and make it again, it's made for you. And you haven't got the capacity to do it. As an ordinary person, where are you going to make even the gearbox? Where are you going to make a steering wheel also? You can't do anything. It's ready for you. Whole deen is ready for us. So we just must use it. So these words, they are the first words that you must learn, and learn it off very thoroughly. And learn it in such a way that middle of the night, if your friend has to wake you up and he asks you the gardan, you can just rattle it off. Straight away you can say it. You are not even dazed or anything. You must know it very well, and you'll have to remember it for the rest of your life also. Then the meaning also, the meaning of it, fa'ala, us-e mard ne kiya. You can see that. So this is in Urdu. The meaning is given in Urdu. We're teaching through the medium of Urdu. And this is also a great blessing of Allah. By learning Urdu, you will get connected with the ulama who used to speak Urdu, which generally we say the ulama of India and Pakistan, etc. And by being connected with them, the Allah Ta'ala, the Arabs acknowledge they have got the proper understanding of deen and the proper practice of deen. So by knowing Urdu, we will be connected with them. If we learn it through English, in the English world, there aren't that ulama like in the Urdu world. Those are great, great ulama. If you learn it in Arabic, the Arab ulama acknowledge that there aren't such ulama as the ulama of India and Pakistan, the subcontinent. For example, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, wrote the kitab, Awjazul Masalik. A commentary on Muatta Imam Malik. The ulama of Morocco and Egypt, they went to Hazrat just to kiss his fingers, that these are the hands that wrote this kitab. The kitab Hayatul Sahaba, which Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali wrote, which is read in Tabligh Jamaat, Hayatul Sahaba, the whole Arab world were completely stunned at this kitab. What a work on Arabic. Maulana Ali Mia Nadawi Rahmatullah Ali, such an alim, the whole Arab world bowed down in front of him. When he passed away, they made janaza al-ghaib for him in the haram of Mecca. Such a great alim. So these are the ulama Allah has put. So by learning Urdu, we will get connected with them, and we will get that understanding of deen which Allah had blessed them with. So, ye us ek mard ne kiya. There are four or five words there. Us ek mard ne kiya. It's not difficult to learn. Everyone who is not an Indian also, and even Indians are not Indian. We know today our language is English. Our language is not Urdu or Gujarati. We don't even know it ourselves. But just that is easy to learn, and you already know five words. You know one word of Arabic, five words of Urdu already. Then this word is a sigha, a word. Sigha means word. There is a commentary, not cricket commentary or soccer commentary, commentary on the word, on fa'ala. See what detailed explanation is given on the word fa'ala in your first day of your sabak already. You know the meaning of fa'ala. Fa'ala means us ek mard ne kiya. So you know the meaning that one man did. Then you give a commentary on that word, explanation, that it is sigha. It is wahid, it is singular. Us ek mard ne. Ek means one. So now you know that is wahid, that is singular. Muzakkar, it is a masculine. Us ek mard, that one man. So now you know the meaning of that also. Muzakkar means man. Ghaib. Ghaib means a person who is absent, who is not present. In grammar we have three words. One is the first person, is the one who's speaking. Second person, the one you're speaking to. Third person, the one you're speaking about, who is not present. So, us ek mard ne kiya, that one man, who is, it's not you, it's not the one you're speaking to, it's about. So, that's the third person. That is the case. In grammar, it is referred to the case. So, this is the third person in the case. So, behath, a further discussion. When we are giving, just imagine how much of explanation is being given on the one word. Behath. Discussion. Itbar, it is positive, not negative. Us ek mard ne kiya. It isn't that us ek mard ne nahi kiya. It's not that that one man didn't do, that one man did. It's positive, itbar. Fa'al, it is a verb. It is not a noun, it is not a preposition, it is a verb. Madi, it is in the past tense. Not in the present tense, not in the future tense. It is in the past tense. And ma'aruf, it is active, not passive. That is that one man did, something was not done on the man. He did the action was not done on him. For example, the boy kicked the ball. That is active. The boy was kicked. Somebody else kicked the boy. That is passive. So see how much of grammatical analysis you have got already in your first lesson. And you know the meaning of the word, you learned it in Urdu, and you have given a commentary and a full discussion. In other words, the full in-depth, like for example, from this you will learn, if you make bayan one day when you complete Baydawi, etc., just a Baydawi, which is a tafsir of the Quran, prescribed for the students, is only quarter supara for the whole year. But normally they only finish one or two rukus in the whole year. For example, just the word Alhamdu, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the tafsir, Al, that you, the person who has got that knowledge will take so long to explain the four types of Al, Alif Lam, Istighraqi, all that. Hamd, praises of Allah. Lillahi, Li, Lam, that he will explain. Allah, the word Allah, you can't finish to explain it. Rabb, that will take you so long to explain. Al, again, Alif Lam there again. Alameen, realm. A person can take a whole year only explaining Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So you can see from here how we are teaching, how you're going in the depths of the knowledge. Not just the superficial, which is like in universities, but the depth. And if you learn in this way, you will gain knowledge which has got great depth in it. And that is what it will mean, that you give your whole self to knowledge. Knowledge will give you a little. You'll see how much knowledge you gain. To make tafsir of Surah Fatiha, whole life is not enough. Lives of the whole, of all the people of the world together is not enough. So much knowledge there is. But you need the tools to get that knowledge. And this is the way. So inshallah, your ustads will take you further. And the first 2 weeks will be only learning. Don't look at any other kitab. Don't show interest in anything. Just study this and study it very, very thoroughly. And know it very well, inshallah. And by, if you know this well, your first 2 weeks, inshallah, your whole alim course will become easy. And not only easy, you will enjoy. If you don't study this, you're going to be like in a dream, in a daze. You won't understand the things in front. So learn this very, very, devote yourself totally and learn it very well. May Allah Ta'ala accept it, inshallah. May Allah. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين.